From the gospel, his father came out and entreated him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Sunday of the prodigal son is one that I look forward to as a preacher. It's a lot easier to talk about this subject of God's amazing grace and mercy than it is to talk about next week. I gave that to Father Stephen. Next week, the Last Judgment. Both are true. Both are true. But it's a lot easier to talk about the prodigal son. Why so? It's obvious. If you pay attention at all to this wonderful gospel, it's telling us there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do that God will not forgive. Another way of saying that, never, never despair. Really, the only worst sin there is despair. And that's where you believe that lie of the devil, that you can't be forgiven, that you've dug a hole so deep and you're in that pit and you can't get out. You might as well just give up. It's over for you. God's turned his back on you. Never believe that lie. Remember this story. It speaks in this story, there's a number of things. Every year I look at it and I see something different. This year, what really struck me is that word, the father came out and entreated him. Entreated. That is a very earnest appeal. That specific reference is to the elder brother. It's like he's doing everything he can. He's calling, but he's going out to him and calling him back. Son! Son, it's very endearing. All that I have is yours. Maybe this elder brother, in his twisted thinking, thought, well, something has now been wasted again by this fatted calf and all of this celebration. He gave away part of the inheritance that I should have as the elder brother, and now more is being wasted on this party for him. And the father, son, you don't know me. All that I have is yours. All that I have. And if the Father is God himself, his resources are infinite. Everything. So if God shows mercy to one, it doesn't mean you have less. God continues to give his blessings to all who are willing to receive it and to share his riches with us. The riches, what are those? It's like the joy, joy. This whole point of the fatted calf being killed, eat, marry, make, dance. My son was lost and is found. He was outside, away from God, and now he's home. And there should be great rejoicing. Another great truth of this lesson is people can change. Don't ever believe that lie of the devil that people can't change or you can't change. God is entreating. God is speaking to us, asking us, come home. It's a great joy today to have the baptism for Christopher. And whenever we have a new baptism, it reminds us all of our own baptism, where all of us, what's happening in baptism? We prepare for it by confessing our sins. And it's painful to look at our sins and all the things that we have done in our life prior to our baptism. And you think, all of that, wow, I feel shame, I feel regret. But then the good news is, as we humbly confess God forgives. He washes it all away. It's a different person who walks out of that font as the man who walked into that font. And that's true of all of us. We have, as we come out of that font, we are fresh, we are washed, we are cleansed, and we put on Christ. There should be then, for people who live in the reality of their baptism, a profound joy that I'm not who I used to be, and I am changing what used to hold me down by the grace of God. St. Paul calls it the Holy Spirit that is inside us now. I'm not what I used to be, and I'm changing to be more like my Father who has shown his great love to me. When that is spiritual reality in our hearts, you can't help but be joyful. Very joyful. Our divine liturgy should be full of joy, always. Our life should be full of joy, even when we go through difficult times in our life. Very difficult. Last night, I visited the home of Carol Hines, and our dear brother in Christ, James, died last night. Memory eternal. We will offer memorial prayers today at the end of our divine liturgy for James. But even in the midst of that grief, there was some sharing of joyful memory. And that's true as a Christian. Nothing takes away our joy in the Lord, especially a God who raises the dead, who gives us life. And when we are joined to him, as James was joined to him, as Christopher today is joined to him, nothing takes away that joy. The only thing that can rob you of that joy is going back to old lies of the devil, worldly living, sin, conflicted thinking, all of that. That's misery. But when you decide, I want to give all that up, I need to get my baptism renewed, I need to confess again, I need to repent, joy comes back. That's the story of the prodigal son. And there's different kinds of sin. The prodigal, in this story, does some of the more obvious sins of that are truly mortal sins. Fornication is a mortal sin. I shared that with our Bible study yesterday. A lot of people think if they trivialize sin, everybody sins, so it doesn't matter, kind of pick your sin. We're all sinners. God is gracious. And then we live in misery. We live in misery because whatever sin you've given yourself up to, it makes your life unhappy. There's no joy. And the prodigal, with his life on that far country, away from the father's house, sexual immorality, probably drunken parties, all the things that he was doing, he ends up miserable in this pig pen. It's a graphic image. But then it says he came to himself. I wonder what is in that phrase. He came to himself. It wasn't just he was thinking, but you have to believe also the Holy Spirit was speaking to him in that pig pen. Just like the father went out to the elder brother entreating him, so this younger son in this pig pen, he's hearing voices inside. These are not just the voices of evil, are just his own thoughts, but the voice of God. Come home, come home, come home. He could have just said, well, I made mistakes. I'll stay in that position. I even have my regret. But no, he chose to walk the path home. That's the path back to the church, back to confession, back to repentance, back to joy. Joy, profound joy, a cleansing, a washing away. To be a new person once again on that right road to becoming like our God. The Father is appealing to the elder son the same way. The elder son may not have committed a mortal sin that the church would call mortal sins. Nevertheless, even little sins can become mortal when they separate us from God, when they put us outside the Father's house, when they rob us of joy in the Lord, when we are filled with resentment, anger, bitterness, envy, all those things that you say, well, that's not a big deal, and even justify it in your head with your rational thinking, life hasn't treated me fairly, it robs you of joy. And the devil's playing with your mind. The Lord's trying to break through all of that and say, come home. Come, elder brother, come home. Let me help you and free you of all of that wrong thinking. That's our good Father. That's our good God. I pray that whatever is your struggle, whether it's something big, a mortal sin, whether it's one of those sins of the elder brother, whatever it is, don't let it keep you from the Father's house and from being here, not just present, but engaged, truly engaged, receiving the blessings of forgiveness, receiving the love of the Lord, receiving the Holy Spirit that changes us from the inside, makes us new people, that we're not what we used to be, and we are becoming like our good Lord. That's the good news of this great Sunday. Be encouraged, dear friends. The Lord continues to entreat. He speaks to all of our hearts, and it's an entreaty, a speaking, a calling of great love. Be home. Be joyful. I'm here to forgive you. I'm here to restore you. I'm here to give you new life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.